We're talking with Alice Green, who is the executive director of the Center for Law and Justice. They recently issued a new report. But first, Alice, why don't you just give us a brief introduction. What is the Center for Law and Justice?
The Center for Law and Justice, that has been around for 35 years, basically advocates for people who are involved in some way in the criminal justice system. We see ourselves as a civil rights organization devoted to changing the criminal justice system.
Now, the new report was titled Structural Racism and Public Safety in Albany, and we'll come back to that report. But this actually built on a prior report that you did in August 2019, Pathways to Reformative Change, Public Safety, Law Enforcement, and the Albany community. So why don't we start talking a little bit about what that report was about and what were some of the key findings and points.
Okay, fine. There are a number of things going on in the Albany community that were of great concern to people. We had a new police chief in 2018. There had been a police shooting of a young man by the name of Eleazar Williams. And then in the spring of 2019, there had also been a very a lot of concern expressed over how the police had dealt with a situation on First Street. There was some police brutality going on, and it was caught on video. And so the community
that was a late night party situation.
Yes, that was a late night party situation, and a number of police officers came in, and it was, as I said, it was captured on video, and the community was able to see how the police handled that, and were very disturbed about it. So there are a lot of things going on, and so we started getting calls at the Center for Law and Justice asking for help and to find out ways of dealing with this brutality that they were seeing. And so we decided that it was time for us to do a community survey, to capture some of those concerns that the community had expressed to us, and also, look at issues around public safety. So we used this opportunity to talk to a number of people. We ended up talking to over 300 using a questionnaire to capture their feelings and attitudes. And also we provided an open-ended section in that questionnaire that would allow the community to talk more about what they thought was happening and what was causing it. So that report showed us a few things. One, the results were that the community had a great deal of distrust of the police department and the DA's office, and they had not been able to get more information about the Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion Program, which was a diversion program that had come into play nearly 4 years ago to divert people and deal with racial disparity. So in terms of the comments that people made, they talked a great deal about police misconduct. They talked about racism. And, of course, the incidents that I think shaped a lot of the opinions was, Eleazar case was one in the First Street. So we issued that 43-page report and distributed it to key officials, including the mayor, the chief, the DA, president of the Common Council. We also made recommendations about what we should be doing to address that issue of distrust. And one of the things we found out is that these officials basically did not pay attention to the report. They did not even acknowledge it. And we asked them in our recommendation that they not do that because we thought it was so important for them to weigh in on what was happening in the community and especially to address the issue of racism. And As I said, our recommendations suggested some ways of doing that. And we didn't ask for a response from key officials, those four key officials, meaning the mayor, actually there were five, the mayor, the police chief, the DA, head of the Common Council, and also head of the Public Relations Department. So, as I said, it was pretty much ignored, and so we were really concerned about that and trying to find other ways of getting them to act on the recommendations or to come up with new recommendations. So it became a document that we call a living document because we made sure that the community got the document and were able to weigh in on what we had found and also to perhaps add new recommendations to what we were trying to get across to these officials. So that's what it has become, sort of a living document.
And, you know, I read that, you know, one of the perhaps objections raised by some of the public officials that even though, you know, hundreds of people have been interviewed, oh, you know, it wasn't a scientifically valid survey. And at the Times Union, you know, wrote an editorial said it may have not have been scientifically valid, but pretty much we've seen the same conclusions in similar studies across the country, and we certainly believe that the concerns being expressed in this report are in fact reflective of the community, and that the city should take it seriously and should try to respond to it.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. We were, I mean, it's in our report. We're very upfront about it, that it was not a scientific survey, but our purpose was to capture for the community what they were thinking and feeling and what they thought that our officials should be doing about it and how they should be responding. So we never made any claims. And I think what we did was really to capture what people were thinking and saying and contacting our office about. And so we made this very clear to those officials, and we were really looking for them to take some leadership and really respond to the issue of distrust and racism that the community had been pointed out very strongly in that report.
So we're talking with Dr. Alice Green, Executive Director, Center for Law and Justice. This is Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network. So recently you came out with maybe a, you know, sort of a follow-up report entitled Structural Racism and Public Safety in Albany. And, you know, maybe can you outline, you know, what were some of the things that you're calling for in the most recent report and what type of response, you know, are you looking for from, you know, key city officials?
Yeah. As I said, we see this as a living document. We were very disturbed that the key officials did not respond to our survey and or any of the recommendations that we had made. So we felt that we had to continue to try to find ways to get them involved in dealing with these issues. So we issued the second report, and we thought that this might help to get that to get the response from these officials. And we decided that we would issue the report. We would lay out in that report some of the history of the individuals that were cited in the report, again, the mayor, the district attorney, the president of the Common Council, and the police chief, because they had not been engaged with the community on the issues that we had gotten to before the public in the first survey. So we thought we'd try a new tactic, and that was to not only issue the report, but also send them a letter and ask them for their thoughts about the report that we had done. We asked very specific questions of each one of the officials. For instance, we asked them if they would consider a racial impact statement that would be that would accompany all of their new policies and procedures. We asked the police department to make sure that the community was aware of any of the policies that they had, such as racial profiling and any policies dealing with abuse. So, you know, that kind of thing. So each official got a set of different questions, and we were asking them to respond to all of those questions that we were asking them, because we down the road we thought it would be important to do what sort of a report card on these officials and how they handle certain issues. And so we developed some criteria that we're using now to you know, evaluate how they are responding, not only to the questions, but what if, any other activities that they come up with to try to deal with the issue, particularly of racism, structural racism in the department, in law enforcement, because we're not only talking about the police department, we're talking about the DA's office as well. And so,
as you mentioned, you went through you know, a number of the key people, the mayor, the police chief, David Suarez, the district attorney, Corey Ellis, the council president. One thing I was particularly interested in was the police chief, Eric Hawkins, I guess the second African-American police chief. And one of the things that's interesting to me, I had worked for the UF Campus Association back in at SUNY Albany back in the early 80s, particularly on the Pine Hills molester, where 80 women, young college students, were sexually attacked and not a lot was done. And one of the things that we had pushed hard for at that point was the issue of community policing, which the first African-American police chief, John Dale, did eventually interact. I will say at that point we weren't bright enough or aware enough to actually tie that into the problems facing the African-American community. But how has that whole history of community policing work out? And you mentioned earlier the LEAD program, and which is, you know, how has that community responsiveness worked in the city of Albany, trying to get the police more integrated with the community?
Yeah, we were very, the other issue that, of course, was of great concern to us is community policing. You're right that John Dale had initiated a community policing effort, and then 10 years ago, when a new police chief came in, Chief Kokoff and Chief Cox, they were very interested in engaging the community in community policing. And for us, community policing meant that there would be a partnership that would develop between the community and the police department, and that we would be engaged in identifying problems and issues, and also to find solutions to some of those problems that had come forth. So I guess our definition of community policing, which we see as, you know, a whole philosophy and approach to working with the police department, law enforcement, and, as I said, dealing with those problems. We lately were not seeing that same flow of community policing in the city of Albany, that it seems that the department is working with a different definition of community policing. We believe that the entire police department, for example, should be schooled in community policing, and that process of making decisions, which would include people from the community, would be going forth, and so that you don't have to think about having a unit that was schooled in community policing, but the entire department would be. And we see that sort of falling away because the community has not been engaged in, you know, developing programs and policies the way it had been in, you know, earlier times. So you know, we're hoping that we can focus more attention on this whole thing, and we're asking for a recommitment to community policing in this document. We're suggesting a symposium that would take place in the fall with a collaboration between those four officials that we mentioned and their department. So that's what's happening right now. We're trying to get them to weigh in on this, to make a commitment to doing that. So with this report, as I said, we laid out the steps that could be taken, issues that could be addressed, but also we're asking all of them to commit to community policing by being involved in that symposium that we are planning.
Clearly one of the problems that impacts upon the poor community police relationships in the city of Albany is the issue of poverty concentrated in, particular communities, particularly Overhill and South End. And overlaid on top of that has been, the war on drugs. And, I've certainly remember over the years seeing so many, young men out there trying to, be involved in the entry-level part of the drug trade. And I always figured, how the heck can they possibly make a living at this? There are so many, individuals engaged in it. But Albany's a somewhat of a progressive city, at least the city council. The administration's always been more conservative than the city council. But how does Albany eventually, resolve this problem?
The problem of poverty?
Well, the problem of poverty, but also racism and the problem with the police department and the relationship with the African-American and even Latino community.
I think one of the things that we're seeing now, and I think, like the global pandemic that we're now engaged in, we've been able to call attention to the dire impact of structural racism on African-Americans who are, disproportionately the victims of this disease and other things, and we now know, we're starting to see very clearly that blacks are more likely to be exposed to this virus because their living and working situations make it more difficult to do things like social distancing. So, they and are perishing in greater numbers because of the stresses that we're hearing them express. So poverty has always been a real problem. Blacks have not been able to get good health care and access to health care, education, and all of those things. And a lot of this is related to, we always have to be careful because it's related to, we're talking about poverty, which means that this community has always experienced, discrimination, structural racism that we don't like to talk about or acknowledge, that people are discriminated against or treated differently and not able to take advantage of, as I said, education, employment, good housing, and all of that. It's all connected. But as I said, today I think people are starting to get a glimpse of how structural racism works and how it operates to deny people access to all of the goods and services in our society. But employment is a major one. Poverty and it's steeped in poverty, and we need to start thinking about how do we deal with this. And I think the first thing, as I said, what we're doing is trying to get these officials to acknowledge what structural racism is and how damaging it is to particularly people of color, and working together to try to figure out how we can get ourselves out of this. For instance, one of the things we had suggested, first of all, is for the police department especially, law enforcement as well, in general, to understand the whole history of the relationship between particularly African-Americans and the white society, Okay, there's a long history there, and until we understand that and understand the racism that was as part of that, that we really can't go forward, because I think we think we're doing, we're solving some problems often, and but we're not really getting to the core of that problem, and it's steeped in racism.
Alice, unfortunately, we're out of time. We've been talking to Alice Green, Executive Director, Center for Law and Justice, a new report, Structural Racism and Public Safety in Albany. Alice, if people want to get more involved with your effort, read the report, get a website.
Yes, we are CFLJ for Center for Law and Justice at gmail.com.
Well, thank you very much, Alice Green, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.